Blog Talk Radio.
For radio as God free as our Constitution, tune in to Free Thought Radio.
Abortion rights are in jeopardy.
We talk about the Texas abortion ban and then feature not one free-thinking guest, but 12 pre-recorded interviews.
Including with the late Ed Asner, with Ron Reagan, Julia Sweeney, and two members of Congress.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. 8 in 10 African countries are set to miss the goal of vaccinating the most vulnerable 10% of their populations against COVID-19 by the end of September, the UN Health Agency said on Thursday. In an alert from the World Health Organization, it said that 42 of Africa's 54 nations needed to speed up vaccination deliveries and getting shots in people's arms if they're to achieve the 10% threshold. 9 African countries have already reached the target, including South Africa, Morocco and Tunisia, and another 5 that could join them if they see improvements in the vaccine rollout, the WHO said. The UN agency explained that while many African countries have sped up coronavirus jabs as vaccine shipments increased in August, 26 countries have used less than half of their COVID-19 vaccines. Across Africa, COVID-19 infections are declining slightly but remain stubbornly high, the WHO said, noting a rising number of new cases in Central, East and West Africa and more than 5,500 deaths in the week ending on the 29th of August. The aid crisis in Ethiopia's Tigray region is worsening, the UN said on Thursday, with stocks of relief aid, cash and fuel running very low or depleted. Since the 12th of July, less than 10% of the trucks that should have reached desperate populations affected by months of fighting have managed to get through, said UN Aid Coordination Office OCHA. It noted that the only access route to Tigray via Afar region using the Samarra-Abala corridor has been inaccessible since the 22nd of August. Humanitarian partners estimate that 100 trucks of food, non-food items and fuel need to enter Tigray every day to sustain an adequate response. Parties to the conflict must allow and facilitate timely, unfettered, safe and sustained access to all people affected by the crisis, OCHA insisted. Dementia is a growing global problem that affects tens of millions of people, but it is not inevitable, the World Health Organization said on Thursday, as it issued an urgent call for countries to focus on prevention measures to avoid being overwhelmed. Data from the UN Health Agency, covering 3/4 of the world's population, indicated that more than 55 million people, or 8.1% of women and 5.4% of men over 65, live with the illness. This number is estimated to rise to 139 million by 2050, said WHO's Dr. Katrine Seer from the Department of Mental Health and Substance Use.
We're far from being able to cure dementia. So at this stage, and I think that's why it's so important to prepare health and social care systems, we do need to provide care and support to enable people who have dementia to live as independently as possible and with the right amount of support that is truly possible.
Dr. Seer insisted that dementia was not an inevitable part of aging and that measures to prevent cognitive decline in later years should be employed by countries now. These include promoting education and tackling depression, said the WHO, which warned that only 1/4 of the world's countries have a national policy for supporting people with dementia and their families. Half of these countries are in Europe, but even in that relatively wealthy region, many national plans are about to end or have already expired. Katie Dartford, UN News.
This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Stan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Imagine all the people
tomorrow. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. September is the anniversary month of the adoption of the Constitution, our godless secular Constitution. Well, it's only September 2nd, but the Constitution and civil liberties have already been dealt a huge blow this month, so we have to hang in there.
And I'm Dan Barker, co-host of Free Thought Radio, and as Annie Laurie said, this is the September 2nd, 2021 edition of Free Thought Radio. And we forgot to mention that last week was our 800th show. Did you know that, Annie Laurie?
No.
So today, Grant Blaschka, again, is engineering the show, our 801st show in the Stephen Yule Friendly Atheist Studio in Free Thought Hall, which is the national office of the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Madison, Wisconsin.
And you can join the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. FFRF is the producer of this weekly broadcast and does so much more. We work very diligently to keep religion out of government and social policy, never more timely and urgent. And we act as an association for like-minded individuals who are personally free from religion. In a few minutes, we're going to devote a little time to the shocking developments in Texas that I alluded to at the opening against abortion rights, aided and abetted by our Supreme Court.
But first, we want to tell you about today's guests. You heard that right. It's plural. We don't have just one guest. We're going to hear from 12 freethinkers who have been interviewed on our TV show, Free Thought Matters. The show, which kicks off its sixth season this month, begins with a retrospective of some of the best guests from the past year or two.
And I should say they were all best, right? But they're some of our favorites.
Well, some of them, we had a hard time picking picking 12 out of the great ones. It's going to begin it's going to include Ron Reagan, Julia Sweeney, Andrianne, John Davidson, two members of Congress. And we'll play a sneak preview of the audio from that TV show later in today's program. And the highlights of that show include our interview on Free Thought Matters with the actor Ed Asner.
And everybody knows Ed Asner died on Sunday. I wrote a blog, Goodbye and Thank You, Ed Asner, who did a lot for FFRF.
During our interview with Ed Asner on Free Thought Matters, Annie Laurie, you asked him if he believes in God.
No. So you're portraying God. Do you mind if I ask whether you believe in God?
I don't know if I do or not. I don't think so.
You were raised Jewish, right?
Yeah.
So Orthodox Jewish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it didn't take?
Well, it did. I was drilled into me very intensively. My bar mitzvah was a gross failure. It was a terrible, terrible. I sang too high. I sang too fast. I think my dad probably cursed me on that day.
And then Ed had promised to sing the song Annie Laurie. And at one point as he is singing, you will hear this, Ed turns and winks at you, Annie Laurie. And we can hear you chuckling as he does that.
So, Ed, before we go out on the break, when you asked my name and I told you it's Annie Laurie, you started singing the song,
mm-hmm.
and you said you would sing it for me again.
Say please.
Please. A lot of people don't know it.
I don't know why I learned that song, but I love it. Maxwell Tons. Braves are the bunny, where early falls the dew, and 'twas there that Annie Laurie gave me her promise true, gave me a promise true, which ne'er forgot will be, and for Bonnie Annie Laurie.
That was beautiful.
Okay, but she's already married, you know. She's
Get your hands off her.
So, Ne'er Forgot will be that beautiful serenade by actor, progressive, and I think a friend of Free Thought and FFRF, Ed Asner.
How did you feel, Annie Laurie, being serenaded by Ed Asner?
Very special.
You can watch part of that Ed Asner interview this Sunday. After a summer break, FFRF's Free Thought Matters TV show is now back on the air. This Sunday, September 5th, will kick off the fall season with a retrospective, as we mentioned earlier.
You can hear from 13 guests, that's a lucky number, including comedian actor Julia Sweeney, Ron Reagan, former Planned Parenthood president Cecile Richards, Professor Anthony Pinn, Cosmos creator Ann Drian, atheist debater Matt Dilhunty, U.S. Representatives Jared Huffman and Eleanor Holmes Norton.
And we'll also hear jazz singer Tahira Clayton and the rapper Graydon Square and the philosopher Daniel C. Dennett.
And the show begins with TV personality, actor and singer John Davidson.
Let's start off our retrospective with a famous entertainer, a household name in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, John Davidson, the singer, actor, TV personality, and game show host, was known for his wholesome image for four decades, but underneath that facade, he was hiding a secret. This preacher's son was actually an atheist all along.
You know, I am a believer. I believe in me. I believe that people are basically good. You know, faith, hope, and love, in my mind, are things that we can't see, of course, just like we can't see God or other superhuman beings or magical friends. We can't see faith, hope, or love either, but they do exist. I just don't believe that there is a force that can be active in that I can pray to and have her or him change my life. Or I believe we're all alone and we have to find a way to make our lives work and to make ourselves better and be as moral as we can be.
That was a common theme among our guests, making this world, not a supernatural world, the best it can be. You can watch that kickoff retrospective show this Sunday on broadcast TV in Chicago, Denver, Houston, L.A., Madison, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, New York City, Phoenix, Portland, Sacramento, Seattle, Washington, D.C., and San Francisco. For stations and times, check our website at fffrf.org under the news link. There's a drop-down for Free Thought Matters where you can also access the shows now. And you can watch it right now on FFRF's YouTube channel. Look for the Free Thought Matters playlist.
And the following week on Free Thought Matters, on Sunday, September 12th, we are talking with evolutionary biologist and author Richard Dawkins. Here's a teaser from that show.
There is no more evidence for God or gods or a god or this god or that god or the other god than there is to believe in fairies or unicorns. I think my main reason for objecting to it is that as a scientist, I love the scientific explanation for everything. I love the fact that we are close to an understanding of everything.
So you won't want to miss that particular interview. And then on Ask an Atheist, our weekly live show, yesterday, FFRF attorneys Rebecca Margaret and Liz Cavell were joined by Peggy Johnson of Compassionate Friends and Rebecca Hensler of Grief Beyond Belief to discuss grieving without God.
FFRF's Ask an Atheist is a show where you can ask questions in real time. It airs most Wednesdays at 12 noon Central on Facebook Live. And you can watch this week's show now on FFRF's YouTube channel. So now for some news. Mississippi has been in a lot of trouble over the COVID virus. FFRF is condemning the Mississippi governor, Tate Reeves, over his recent religious indifference to the mounting pandemic in his state. Even as Mississippi is decimated by COVID-19, Governor Reeves told attendees at a Republican Party fundraiser on August 26th that Mississippians are a little less scared of the virus than other Americans because most of our residents share Christian beliefs. He said, when you believe in eternal life, when you believe that living on this earth is but a blip on the screen, then you don't have to be so scared of things. The day after he said that, Mississippi confirmed the sixth COVID death of a child in the state. He had said something similar a week before. Let's listen to that.
The Bible is very clear that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that is my worldview. It's how I believe. It's what drives me. And I think it's what drives a large number of Mississippians. We should take necessary precautions with respect to COVID, but we also understand that we do have everlasting life if we believe in Jesus. We believe in God the Father, and I certainly do.
Governor Reeves was not elected to be our pastor in chief. He should keep his personal beliefs to himself. We complained to him, saying that his actions and remarks constitute inappropriate endorsement of religion, and that he should treat his office as a secular office, not as a pulpit.
Yeah, but what a guy. And we also told him, get off your knees and get to work. Letting all these people die under his watch, it's unbelievable.
So
after the break, we're going to discuss why we need to mess with Texas and its abortion law creating a huge mess for women's rights. We're going to discuss what's wrong with the Supreme Court, what we need to do about it, and why the Texas situation is an ominous harbinger of injustice to come here in the supposedly secular United States.
And then after that, in the second half of the show, we're going to hear from Ron Reagan, two members of Congress, and a plethora of engaging, leading freethinkers. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be back in just a minute with more Free Thought Radio.
Hi, I'm Steve Pinker. In my book, Enlightenment Now, I show that the world has become a better place as reason has been overcoming superstition and tribalism. But the values of the Enlightenment are under attack. That's why I'm a proud member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest association of free thinkers working to keep state and church separate. Please join me in supporting the Freedom From Religion Foundation to ensure that our government is driven not by religion, but by reason.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker. Welcome back to Free Thought Radio. And before we talk about Texas, I first want to say happy birthday to my little brother, Daryl. Daryl Barker turns 70 today. Daryl is a longtime member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. He's the former plaintiff in a state church lawsuit and the former director of FFRF's chapter in the state of Washington called the Unfettered Freethinkers of South Sound. This morning, Daryl sent me a text after this news came down out of Texas saying maybe we should start airlifting women from the state of Texas right now.
So instead of Afghanistan or Louisiana because of the flooding, yeah. So, and Daryl loves wordplay, so I'm sure he came up with the name of that chapter, Unfettered Freethinkers. That's cute, of South Sound. So we want to talk about the news that's been commanding all the headlines, although there's a lot of other news, which is that it's finally happening here, what pro-choice people, I, FFRF, many others, have been warning for years that abortion rights are hugely endangered and we could lose Roe versus Wade before even the 50th anniversary of it in January 2023. And that seemed inconceivable, but now we know which way the wind is blowing. We've all been watching the inaction by the U.S. Supreme Court, desperate abortion clinic owners in Texas had an emergency appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court on Tuesday, deafening silence. And then at midnight last night, they refused to block the most draconian anti-abortion law in the country that not only bans abortion before most women in Texas know they're pregnant, 2 weeks after a period is missed, which is at 6 weeks, but it deputizes private citizens to go after anybody who helps an abortion happen, whether it's an Uber driver or a clinic provider, to turn them in and get $10,000 as a bounty plus court costs, and to be immune themselves from being sued for court costs if they lose. It's under Governor Greg Abbott, who's a Christian nationalist, this inconceivable bill passed, which, you know, makes no sense legally, because we know at the Freedom From Religion Foundation how hard it is to stay in court. We're constantly being turned out of court because they say we don't have standing, even when we make a very solid case about how something injures us. And here's people who have nothing to do with an abortion who are suddenly being allowed to interfere. And the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 ruling that was handed down just before midnight yesterday, said, oh, our hands are tied. We can't do anything to block this anti-abortion bill. And so it's a very desperate situation now in Texas, where it's a huge state. Women don't, you'd have to travel thousands of miles in many places to get out of Texas. It will, of course, most devastate poor women, young women, students, women of color. But it's a terrible bill, and that this would be allowed to happen is an ominous harbinger that the Supreme Court is poised to overturn Roe versus Wade, and they have a case they'll be deciding soon, which is a lesser ban at 15 weeks out of Mississippi. We got some sustenance from Sonia Sotomayor in her passionate dissent, calling this stunning, saying that the other justices have their heads in their sand. One kind of nice note is that the of joining the dissenters was
Roberts,
the Chief Justice, understanding that this is unprecedented. And so now it's going to go back to the courts, but it's chaos. And Daryl is right. We should be airlifting pregnant people with unwanted pregnancies out of Texas.
Well, we'll bring them here.
Well, and the clinics in other states are saying, you don't understand. We don't have the staffing to come to help hundreds of people coming in from other states. And this is going to encourage other anti-abortion states to pass similar bans. So we're in trouble.
So it's been a decades-long struggle, hasn't it? One of our dear friends, the folk singer-songwriter Kristen Lems, wrote a song back in the 1980s.
I think it was 1970s.
Was it late 1970s?
Mm-hmm.
She wrote a song complaining about the days of the theocracy. So let's listen to that. This is Kristen Lems singing, a 30-year-old or almost 35-year-old song, The Days of the Theocracy.
Thank you. seem like jokes to us today. They're sitting in the Capitol, they're voting out our lives. If we don't stop them soon, our freedom will not long survive. No going back, back to the bad old days, when men were really masters and women were their slaves. Let's go ahead, ahead for future centuries and build a world that's based on true democracy and build a world that's based on true equality.
For that, Christian, it's a song that's given a lot of pleasure over the years, but we don't want it to come true. As Kristen says, they're sitting in the Capitol. They're voting on our lives. If we don't act now, it will not survive. And one thing that you can do if you're listening and you're a U.S. citizen is you can involve yourself in the action alert that FFRF sent out. It's on our website. We sent it to every member, telling your members of Congress to support and voice support for the Women's Health Protection Act, which would not allow states anymore to pass draconian anti-abortion unconstitutional bans. That's the whole intent of that act. It needs to be passed now. It hasn't even passed the House. Let's get them to do something. And anything else you can do now to help abortion funds, to write letters, to galvanize, to protest, this is the time to act, because we are going the way of theocracy.
That song was 40 years ago, wasn't it? We're still fighting the fight. Well, that's some negative news, but after the break, we're going to turn to some positive comments from 10 leading freethinkers, which were guests on retrospective episodes of Free Thought Matters, our TV show, including Cecile Richards, Ron Reagan, Andrianne, and many others. We'll be right back with more Free Thought Radio.
I'm Julia Sweeney, and I'm an atheist and former Catholic. I even wrote a play about it called Letting Go of God. Right now, Catholic bishops are using their considerable influence to deny women contraceptive rights. Please join the Freedom From Religion Foundation and help keep church and state separate. You can call 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit ffrf.org to stand up for true religious freedom.
Speaking freely, thinking freely. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. Welcome back. As we mentioned earlier, our TV show, Free Thought Matters, is resuming after a summer hiatus. This first show, which airs Sunday, is a retrospective of earlier interviews. A few minutes ago, we heard from the TV personality John Davidson and the actor Ed Asner.
Aren't we lucky that we were able to interview him before he died? And now let's listen to some of our other favorite guests, and they include such a timely guest, reproductive rights advocate Cecile Richards, Ron Reagan, and Cosmos's Andrianne, among others. The former head of Planned Parenthood, Cecile Richards, joined us for a memorable interview about her book, Make Trouble, Standing Up, Speaking Out, and Finding the Courage to Lead. She confided that her good troublemaking began in the sixth grade over religion.
Even then, I was in sixth grade in Dallas, Texas. I can remember it like it was yesterday, which I think is also interesting about how young people who today are doing things, marching, organizing, they probably will never forget that. It's a very impressionable age. But what happened to me was, for some reason, my sixth grade teacher thought the important way to start class was that we would all recite the Lord's Prayer. And I didn't even know the words to the Lord's Prayer. We definitely didn't talk about it in my family. And I said, well, I didn't really see why I had to do that because that's not what my family did. And, you know, dead silence. And Mrs. Powers was her name. She said, well, little lady, are you just trying to make trouble? And I guess little did I know that there was actually a constitutional reason why that she would probably be upset that someone would be raising this. But I also think it was a great lesson for me, which was just by speaking my mind, even at a very young age, my teacher was paying attention. And that became a little bit of a theme throughout my life.
Addison Fry and Tahira Clayton are a married couple who are renowned jazz musicians. And they also share a love of free thought. They put on a little concert for us over Skype, and then Tahira told us about how she started seeing through religion at a young age.
I grew up extremely religious, and that's partly because of Black culture in itself. The church is very much so centered around religion. I grew up singing in the church choir. I joke that I was in church more than I was anywhere else. You know, both of my parents served in our church like 6 out of the 7 days of the week. I think our only day off was on Mondays. So yeah, a very religious background in the way that I was always in church. It definitely was a faith-led home that I questioned from a really, really young age. I joke with Addison often that Harry Potter is actually, you know, my entrance into the realm of free thought. I was maybe 7 years old when I was reading the first Harry Potter book, and I was in church waiting for my mom to finish Bible study. And the choir director at the time took away my book and told me that I was being a very bad girl for reading about witchcraft and that God didn't condone these sorts of things. And my thought was, like, how could God not love Harry Potter? He's had such a hard life. It was really, like, you know, kind of hard for me to even wrap my head around. But that was around the first time when I started maybe thinking that everything, the structure that I had grown up in, might not be what I believed. So thanks, Harry Potter, I guess.
It's not every day that the son of a U.S. president offers to help out a free-thinking organization, but that's exactly what happened back in 2014 when Ron Reagan recorded a commercial for us. Despite some censorship by network TV, Ron's Not Afraid of Burning in Hell commercial has done wonders for raising people's awareness of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Ron told us how he stood up to his father, then California Governor Ronald Reagan, and told him he wasn't going to church anymore.
At age 12, I finally decided I can't, you know, sit there in church anymore and, you know, and do this. It's hypocritical, among other things. And so I told, at age 12, I told my father. He came into the bedroom one day, when Sunday morning, we were going to pile into the car and head off to the Bel Air Presbyterian Church. Came in and said, you know, get dressed. Come on, put your suit on. We're going to church. And I said, I'm not going. And he didn't even hear that. That was so unthinkable to him that he was heading out the door and he just over his shoulder said, you know, come on, get dressed, we're going. And I said, I called after him, I said, I'm not going. I'm done with that, I'm not going. And he was wise enough to not try and strong arm me into it. He just sort of let it go. They went to church, they came back, and then he tried to, you know, get into it with me, of course, and question me about this. And I was adamant that I did not believe what he believed. I thought it would be hypocritical for me to go. It would be disrespectful to his church, too, for me to sit there and pretend that I believed something that I did not. And so I don't know if I would say that he accepted this. He was very troubled by it. But again, he knew not to try and force me to go to church. He did eventually bring the pastor from the church, a fellow named Don Muma. He arrived in my living room one afternoon. I came in from playing or running around doing whatever I was doing, and there was Don Muma. And he was clearly there to try and convince me to come back to the church. And I thought, well, now I've got to deal with a professional here. This is going to be a real challenge for me. But it didn't take but 5 or 10 minutes before we'd stop talking about God and we're talking about UCLA football, which Don used to play. So, and he later admitted to me, years later, how embarrassed he'd been by the whole thing. So, yeah, he didn't succeed any more than my father did.
Our friend Anthony Pinn is a professor of religion at Rice University who got his PhD in the study of religion at Harvard. So some people are surprised to discover that he is a confirmed atheist. Here he is describing his journey out of the church.
Well, I was interested in ministry, but I wanted to think about it differently. So I left New York and went to Harvard Divinity School, where ministry was not the priority.
Half of them are atheists already, right?
And quiet about it, right? But it wasn't about ministry, so it gave me an opportunity to think. I was still involved in church ministry. I was working at a church in Roxbury and encountering, again, young people who had no sense of future. And nothing about their church involvement gave them a way to think differently. And so it reached a point for me where I had to make a decision. I was going to safeguard a tradition, or I was going to be about the business of trying to help people live productive and healthy lives. Yeah. And so I was willing to be a lot of things, but I was not going to be a hypocrite. So I could not stay in a pulpit preaching what I did not believe. So I left the church. And for a time, I wasn't quite certain what to call myself, right? I didn't have very many role models, certainly role models that looked like me I did not have.
A human being, I guess, is one start.
Well, that I could, but even in the context of the United States, for an African American, that was not a safe assumption, right? Everything about our collective lives spoke against the humanity of despised populations, of racialized populations. So even that was a challenge. It was with time that I recognized that where I stood and how I stood was in line with humanism and atheism. And so that's what I claimed.
Anyone who has seen the TV program Cosmos in any of its iterations will undoubtedly remember the hosts, first Carl Sagan and later Neil deGrasse Tyson. But the producer of both of these shows is Anne Drian, Carl Sagan's partner in life and writing. She discussed what prompted her and Carl to create the most beloved science program of all time.
Carl always used to say, when you're in love, you want to tell the world. And that's how I feel. I do have an almost evangelical fervor, although it's fine with me that there are people everywhere who do not believe what I believe. What I think is so important is the freedom to believe what our life experience and what our understanding of the findings of scientists and other people. It's so important that we are free to believe whatever we want to believe and not to believe at all. I love science because it's that permanent revolution that I searched for all my life, that way of seeing and thinking that is not ever finished or complete. And what disappoints me about so many other ideologies is the kind of arrogance of believing that we know everything there is to know when we are so young and so new to the universe and only just beginning to study it systematically. So for me, science satisfies not only that sacred searching that I think is so important to life, but also to that sense of the glory and beauty of nature and its importance and why we should value what is natural above all other things.
We just heard from Cecile Richards, Tahira Clayton, Ron Reagan, Anthony Pinn, and Anne Drian on our retrospective of Free Thought Matters. After the break, we're going to hear from five more interesting free-thinking guests, including Congressman Jared Huffman, comedian Julia Sweeney, philosopher Daniel Dennett, the atheist debater Matt Dillahunty, and Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Free Thought Radio.
I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective organization of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate. Phone 1-800-335-4021, 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
Margaret Sanger's motto was, "No gods, no masters." This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, and we've been listening to some of the retrospective show, our first kickoff show of the seventh season of our TV show, Free Thought Matters, which airs this coming Sunday, September the 5th. And we just heard from five freethinkers. Now, let's listen to five more.
One of the most heartening changes of the last decade is the growth of the nuns, people who aren't affiliated with religion. Recognizing this trend, several members of the U.S. House of Representatives have formed a Free Thought Caucus to promote secular legislation. One of the founders is Congressman Jared Huffman from Northern California, who accepted FFRF's Emperor Has No Clothes Award at our 2018 convention. He told us about the birth of the Congressional Free Thought Caucus.
I've gotten a lot of support from colleagues, and several of them, as we continue to talk about these issues and the importance of defending the secular character of our government, decided that we really ought to band together and form a caucus. So we settled on the name Free Thought, the Congressional Free Thought Caucus. Jamie Raskin and I are the original co-chairs, but other members include Jerry McNerney, Dan Kildee. There's about 10 members of Congress right now, which is way better than I thought we would achieve in this Congress. So I think that tells you something, too. These are not all members that would characterize themselves as non-religious, but all of them are willing to at least publicly get out there and defend the secular character of our government and the line of separation between church and state. So I think that's a great thing.
One of the great friends of the Freedom From Religion Foundation over the years has been the actor and comedian Julia Sweeney. The Saturday Night Live alum has appeared at several of our annual conventions and has starred in her one-woman show called Letting Go of God. In this clip, Julia explains how she left Catholicism.
Well, I just looked into it a little bit. I don't even, now it's, you know, hard for me to imagine how anyone buys into any of it if you really look into it. I mean, there's really no historical evidence for the miracles or scientific evidence for the miracles. Like, there's just, I became educated. I just took the normal critical thinking that I would use buying a car or selecting a face cream. And I applied it to the religion that I was in, and it was immediately clear. I mean, for me, I like to think of it as not seeing how wrong it was, as in some ways seeing how brilliant it is. It's human beings trying to make sense of their world, having whatever scientific information they have on hand, and doing what humans do, which is come up with stories to explain things. And I think in the case of the Catholic Church and many other big religions, you know, controlling people was a big, huge part of it. You know, people who in power, it's easier to keep people in power if they believe that somehow God has made a person in power, like the Pope or whatever. But mostly I see like the Bible as just a human's attempt to tell a story about why things are the way they are that they don't understand. And to me, that's the beauty of the Bible, in this case of Christianity. And you miss all of that interesting beauty and great storytelling if you actually believe it's true. Like, so for me, even though I lost my faith, it was a great awakening to understanding the power of mythology. And so it was such a big experience in so many ways to lose my faith, positive in every way.
Philosopher Daniel Dennett is one of the brightest lights in the freethinking world.
A professor at Tufts University and author of many influential books, including Darwin's Dangerous Idea, Dennett was included in a famous gathering of four heavyweights of atheism known as the Four Horsemen, the others being Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, and Christopher Hitchens. Dennett told us why he wants people to approach religion not with reverence, but with rigor.
So the spell I wanted to break was the spell which says, don't do that. Hands off. Do not approach religion with scientific objectivity and scrutiny. You always have to approach religion sort of on your knees and with an attitude of great reverence. I said, no, I want to treat religion the same way I would treat the oil industry or climate change or the banking system. This is a phenomenon. Let's take off the gloves. Let's study it. Let's find out. Let's not settle for half-truths. Let's really look at it. That's the spell I wanted to break. Now, a lot of people thought, if you break that spell, you'll break the other spell, the enchantment of religion itself. Well, that's a chance, but that's not the point of the book. If religion is worth believing in, then it'll come through this just with flying colors. A set of beliefs that can't withstand rational scrutiny does not deserve to be perpetuated.
Matt Dillahunty is a blogger and video podcaster with a very large following. He's an excellent and ferocious debater, taking the wind out of the sails of Christian apologists, large and small. In this recent clip, Matt addresses the ever-popular question, how can you be good without God?
I think a better question is, how can you be good with a God? Because gods and God beliefs, whether a God exists or not, are divisive. People directly on behalf of their God beliefs have been murderous, warmongering, and cruel. Secular moral systems don't have dogma. They don't appeal to the divine. What we've got is a recognition that our beliefs inform our actions have consequences, and that as long as we're sharing space, what I do can impact your life and what you do can impact mine. And so we use something like game theory to show that cooperation is better and that you can build a secular moral system with really simple foundations like health is better than sickness. Suffering is worse than joy, or whatever your foundation is. But the nice thing about secular moral systems is if you find out the foundations are wrong after putting this into place, if you start working your moral system and find out that the world gets worse, you get to change it. You get to change any of it. You're not beholden to, no, this is the secular moral system handed down on high. So I'm not just good without God. I'm better than a believer, and definitely better than the believer that I used to be.
Eleanor Holmes Norton has been a delegate to Congress from the District of Columbia for over 30 years, and she's a member today of the Congressional Freethought Caucus. Her life history stretches from when segregation was the law of the land to today. It's that span of experiences that helps form her attitude toward life in the United States.
Oh, I find it easy to stay optimistic. Remember, I was born and raised in a city where I had to go to segregated schools. That's no longer the case. I was born and raised in a city that didn't have any rights whatsoever, not even the right to vote locally. I was born and raised in a city that had no rights to have a member of Congress. And here I sit as a member of the House of Representatives. If you believe in change, then of course you must be optimistic. I believe in change because I have seen change happen and because I have helped make change happen in my own city. All of that makes me an eternal optimist.
And those were some of the interviews which you can see and hear on our Freethought Matters TV show, which airs this Sunday, September 5th, around the country. But you can also see it right now by going to FFRF's YouTube page and looking for the Freethought Matters playlist.
And then don't forget that next week, September 12th, our guest is Richard Dawkins. And then later in September, we interview Ryan Burge, who's the leading researcher of the Nones, N-O-N-E-S. He's an expert, even though he's an American Baptist minister, which is very liberal denomination, and it's a very fascinating show about all of his research and his book. Candace Gorham will talk about disbelief and grief.
We interviewed Jay Rosenstein, who won a Peabody and an Emmy for his stellar documentary, The Lord Is Not on Trial, here today, about the first Supreme Court case against religious instruction in the public schools, the McCollum case. And our favorite columnist we got to interview, that'll probably be coming up in October, columnist Katha Pollitt, and we talk about her book, Pro, Reclaiming Abortion Rights. Talk about timely. And even though this interview was recorded before all of this happened, she does talk about the Texas law as well. So there'll be a lot more coming up to watch on Free Thought Matters. And then I could just do a little commercial for our convention, which is on in Boston the weekend of November 19th and 20th, Friday and Saturday. We have Katha Pollitt, Gloria Steinem, a whole host of authors and activists. It will be masked, I'm sure, but we'll be there in person, and you can sign up at fffrf.org. Go to the events and outreach link.
And next week on this show, we have a Dennett doubleheader, Charlotte Dennett and Daniel Dennett, the philosopher. So you don't want to miss that. We want to say hello to listeners in Philadelphia, to WOOM. Hello to listeners in Madison, Wisconsin, to WMUU and WIDE. In Janesville, Wisconsin, to WADR. In Bryan, Texas, KEOS. In Columbia, Missouri, KOPN. In Eugene, Oregon, KEPW. San Marcos, Texas, KZSM. In Vermont and New Hampshire, WOOL, Black Sheep Radio. And then in Ithaca, New York, and Watkins Glen, New York, WRFI. Give us a thumbs up if you're listening to us on your podcast provider. Tell your friends to visit Free Thought Radio at fffrf.org/radio.
Ask for more information at fffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. You can support Free Thought Radio and support all of FFRF's legal work, educational work, by becoming a member. Check us out at our website and tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday